In the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, there was something that happened. There was persecution on the church. I don't mean that they talked bad about them or they didn't all jump in and party. I mean, they were trying to kill them. They wanted the church eradicated. They wanted these Jesus people gone. They stoned Stephen, the deacon. Remember, Paul was standing by. Saul of Tarsus was standing by when that happened. I mean, they hated Christians. You think there's a hate for Christians today and bigotry against Christians? You're right, there is. It's not your imagination. But then they were killing them. They were running them out of Jerusalem. And so when they were run off, the Bible says that they went north. Some of them went to Cyprus, an island there in the Mediterranean. Some of them along the border, along the coast. Tyre and Sidon, here it says Phoenice or Phoenicia. That really has to do with people who were sailors, ship people, and they would travel back and forth, but they had settlements along the coast, not only along the Israeli side and the Lebanon, around Lebanon, but down in Libya and Africa, such as that. All along the Mediterranean there, they had little villages where they settled. And so some Christians went as far as that. But they also, it says in verse number 19, they went as far as Antioch. And what were they doing? They were, look at what it says, preaching the word. You see that in verse 19? Verse number 20. Some of them were men of Cyprus, Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Look, they were scattered from Jerusalem. They were scattered from Israel. They were run out because of the persecution, the real life threat. And so left. That's one thing I don't understand about people is why we stay in situations as long as we do, knowing how they threaten our well-being. But for some reason, we just get comfortable where we just hang on and hang in there. But these Jews here, these Christians here, they left. They said, we're getting out and we're going. And they did. And they went in all different directions. But wherever they went, they already had the grounding of their faith. They knew what they believed. Now that song that I just sung is a little, you know, touchy and emotional. But the truth is, when it comes to those that have died in my life who I know have faith, I have no doubt where they are. So as I look at the ones where you are missing them, and I get it. But I know where they are, and you do too. Because we know, we're grounded in that faith, and we understand that our sins were washed away, our name was written in the book of life when we trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so we know they're in heaven. I know when I die where I'm going to go. I know I'm going to heaven. And I'm grounded in that. I don't have any problem, any question at all about that. Now, if you're here this morning and you have a question of whether or not you are born again, now's the time to face it. You say, well, I'm not real sure. Then right now, from your heart to God's heart, say, God, I don't understand it all, but I understand this much. I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again the third day. I believe. I know that's true. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. Now, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. There may be some, as we talked about in Sunday school, that come along and say, well, you can't be a Christian because you do this and that. That's nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says that by faith we are saved. By faith we understand. By faith we know. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away. Look, they were persecuted. They were run out of town. They had to leave what was comfortable and what they knew. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't leave their faith. They didn't conceal their faith. They didn't say, well, you know, let's go to this next town, and when we get there, let's not tell anybody we're Christians. Because if they don't know, they won't persecute us. If we don't tell them we're Christians when we go to the next place, then we won't have to worry about the controversy. That's not what they did. They showed up the first day and they went to the Chamber of Commerce and they said, we're looking to start a business. Well, okay, what kind of business? I don't know, but I'm a Christian. They went and found a realtor, Century 21. They said, we're looking for a house. Well, what are you looking for? Well, I don't know. We got a lot of ideas, but one thing's for sure, you need to know we're Christians. Checked into school, and you know the first thing they told them was? Christians got jobs. You know the first thing they said, we're Christians. Everywhere they went, they said they preached Jesus. Look at what it says, verse 19. They preached the word. Verse 20, they preached the Lord Jesus. They preached, they preached, they preached. I want to know something. I want you to be honest with yourself. How many people that you work with know that you are a born-again Christian? Know that you are, not because you wear a patch on your arm that says, I'm a Christian. Because they see it in your life. I've worked next to people. I mean, first day on the job. And within just a few minutes, I knew they were Christians. We had that fellowship already. And I didn't have to ask, but I did. And the answer was, yes, I'm Christian. Guys, it's who we are. It changes who we are. The Bible talks about old things are passed away. All things become new. We're new creatures. There's been a transformation. Everywhere they went, they preached. Now, what kind of preaching did they do? Did they get up in, you know, on a soapbox and give them the, you know, preach like that? That's not what it's about. Told them about how to know Christ the Savior. If there's one thing Capitol Heights Baptist Church should be known for, it should be that it is a soul-saving station, that it is an anchor for lost souls, a harbor for lost souls, that here we can come and we can anchor ourselves and know the truth and find the truth and feel safe. If you're here this morning and you're not born again, I want you to feel safe. I want you to feel safe enough to open yourself up to the possibility of the gospel, to the truth of God, and let God forgive your sins. Let God into your life. It's safe in here to do that today. They didn't conceal their faith. They broadcast their faith. They wanted people to know that they were Christians. But more than that, they wanted people to get saved. They wanted people to become Christians. They found that it changed their lives, and so they wanted everybody to do it. How many of you have a friend that does multi-level marketing? Okay? I'm not trying to, I don't know if you do it, but I mean, some of us got friends that do it, and I've got friends, and every once in a while they send me a message. They say, now, Derek, don't forget, there's an opportunity here. And they're, you know what? You know, some of them, it's really changed their lives. Some of them, it's just something they do along the side. But some of them, it's really changed the way they live. I want you to know something. If I found a way to lose weight, I'd tell all y'all. I wouldn't want skinny to share it. But I'd share it. I'd tell them, because it'll change your life. But let me tell you something. I want you to know about my Jesus, because Jesus changed my life. Changed my hope, changed my assurance, changed my confidence, my courage, my faith. He changed it all. And so they preached Jesus. Look at verse 20. Not only that, we see the hand of the Lord was with them. I want people to see Capitol Heights Baptist Church as not only a place where people get saved, but a place where the presence of God, where we can see the power of prayer and the power of faith, and it's real and it's genuine, it's sincere. It's not just a hope so, it's a watch this. That's what I like. Watch what God can do. Watch what God can do and change a life. And, you know, we've got people in our church, God has broken the grip that sin had on their lives. God's healed bodies and healed souls. They had a confidence of their faith, and it was a demonstration of God's anointing. People saw the church at Antioch. They saw something that was real, something that was powerful. Verse number 22. These things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. All the way from Antioch to Jerusalem. Now, because of people traveling, probably, but because of people talking. What are people saying about Heights Baptist Church? What are people saying about you as a believer and about us as a church? Saying that this is a loving church? Is that the word that spread about Antioch? Oh, they're such a loving church. I don't read that in there. I want to be a loving church. Did the word spread that they were a holy church? That they were upright? That they lived by the direction of God? I want that to be our reputation. Is that what it said about Antioch? That's great. I'm glad that you came to sit in church in the church house this morning. And I hope you'll come back even tonight at 6 o'clock or Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I hope you'll come back. But does it say that's what they were known for? Faithful to church services? Doesn't say that. That you could count on them if you... That's the kind of church we've got. Not what it said about Antioch. Go to verse 26 real quick. I wanted to say this first and I overlooked it. There's something in verse 26 that's important. That last phrase, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's where the term came from. By the way, it was not a term of endearment. It was slander. They wanted to classify them. You know, and there's a lot of that going on today, isn't there? Boy, if we can get everybody to be in their little groups, if we can get the blacks to be against the whites and the Mexicans to be against the Cubans and the Puerto Ricans against the Venezuelans, and if we can get the rich against the poor and the Republicans against the Democrat and the liberals against the conservative, if we can just keep them fighting amongst themselves, we do whatever we want to do. Yeah, that's how it works. As long as we're all fighting with each other, we leave them alone. And so the division, the classifications, the separation. And when they called them Christians, what were they doing? They were putting them in a group to separate them. Put them over here. We can identify. Keeping them divided. They were called Christians. Why were they called Christians? Because they were kind? Is that what they were known for in Antioch? They were kind? I didn't read that anywhere. How about that they were judgmental? Boy, that church up there, they're judgmental. I don't want that to be our reputation. And that's not what it said about Antioch. What was the reputation? What was so impressive that it made it all the way back to Jerusalem? Was it that they were a cold and unfriendly church? I can remember visiting people along the way and they'll say, well, I went to that church. Nobody even said good morning or how you doing or anything like that. They were a cold and unfriendly church. By the way, you know this? It takes one person to show kindness to make somebody feel welcome. I mean, it'd be great if more people than that made you feel welcome, but it just takes one. By the way, it only takes one to act out and be ugly to make somebody not want to come back to church here. Just one. But let's make sure that we're the right one. What was the reputation? What was it that got back? Preached the Word. Preached the Lord Jesus. That's what got back. So let me ask you something. That's the group that was called Christians. It wasn't what they wore. It wasn't what they sang. It wasn't whether they were judgmental or they're kind. It wasn't. Here's what made the difference. Here's why they were called Christians. Because they wanted people to go to heaven. And they showed them the way through the Word. They preached the Word. They preached the Lord. So are you a Christian? Do you share the word? Well, my church believes, look, let me take that phrase out. The Bible says. That's what matters. By the way, that's what your church should believe, whatever the Bible says. But let's tell people what the Bible says, not what our church believes. Well, the Bible says this. Are we known as a safe harbor for the lonely, for the hurting, for the struggling, for the searching? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. That sometimes people come to church and they don't get saved the first time they show up. But they're searching, they're looking, they're wanting to see, is this the real deal? Is this a safe place for people to come and be exposed to the gospel even if they don't jump right in? Should be. Is it a harbor for the broken and the hopeless and the lost? They were called Christians first in Antioch. How did they demonstrate their faith? What is it that made them stand out so that people would say, those are Christians. Those are the Christ-like people. Was it their prayer? How is it that we can demonstrate our faith? How is it that we exercise or we expand our faith? Let me tell you what will make you a Christian. If you talk to God. You talk to God. You pray. You talk to God. Spend some quality communion with God. Fellowship with God. Secondly, if we worship God. Anybody look that word up yet? If we worship God, I mean having that love for God. That affection for God. Worship. And then that third thing that made them Christians, they're ministering to others. Preaching the word, sharing the word, sharing the testimony, sharing the message. Ministering. Capitol Heights Baptist Church is a loving church. But I know people that are not saved that love each other and that are kind. There are a lot of things you'll find at Capitol Heights that you could find in the world among your unchurched friends. So what is it that makes Capitol Heights Christian? What is it that makes you Christian? What is it that makes me Christian? What is it? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know your prayer life. It's hard for me to identify you as a Christian by your prayer life because I'm not there when you pray. I hope that you pray when you're alone with God. And when it comes to worship, I don't know how much you worship, true worship, intimacy, communion, fellowship with God. I don't know that about you. Just because you come and stand in here and wave your hands, that doesn't tell me if you're a Christian. You know what's going to show me if you're a Christian? Whether you preach the word. Whether you share the gospel. Whether you show people how to be saved. You say, Pastor, that's too much. That's what makes you a Christian. That's not what makes you a Baptist. It's what makes you a Christian, though. We share it over and over again. It's not difficult. Look, Jesus did the hard part when he died on the cross for sins, for the sinner. He did it. How can I show somebody to be saved? I can share my testimony. So, you know, I was riding down the road one day and I've been going to church all my life, teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir, leading the singing, all these things. And I was just riding down the road one day and I thought, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I go to church. But I don't know if I'm going to heaven. And so right then I prayed and I said, God, I know Jesus died for me and I know I'm a sinner. God, I don't know if I've ever prayed sincerely before and asked for salvation. I don't know if what I prayed when I was 5 years old in the back of that children's chapel counted. But God, right now I know I'm a sinner and I know Jesus died for me and I'm asking you, dear God, forgive my sins.
I don't know if I got saved when I was five, but I know I was saved when I was 17. Whether I had already been saved 12 years or not, I don't know. But I know after that prayer, I know I was saved. So if you're not sure this morning, talk to God about it. Please don't go away wondering. The term Christian was first related to two things. We didn't read the other part, but he cautioned them. He said, cleave unto the Lord. There were two things the church at Antioch were known for. Number one was preaching the word. And number two was their desire for close fellowship and communion with God. Cleaving to the Lord. Now, how many of you remember the definition of cleaving, the Pahokee definition? I don't know about you ladies. You may not understand this illustration, but men, we have belts probably in our homes, and one of those little holes in that belt is that long. Amen. Some of you know about that. Cleave. Because you know what happens is we put that belt on and we go, well, I know this is where it goes. Because one thing we don't want to have to do is loosen it up and go to that next little hole in the leather there. Because then we'll know something's off. We can't blame the dryer because we don't put our belts in there. Blame the refrigerator. I want to be that close to God. I want to be that close to God. That's what he says, cleave unto the Lord. As tight as our belts are on our bad days. I mean just wrapped up with the Lord. And the church at Antioch was known for those two things. They were real. They were really connected to God. And they shared the word. See, it's not about whether the pastor preaches from the Bible. That's important. But it's not effective unless everybody does it. It's one thing if we think about what one person could do, but imagine what everybody could do together. As we go out of here this morning, if everybody told one person, can make a difference. And that's what would make our church known as a Christian church. Let's stand. Maybe here this morning you say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer and I know I'm saved now. If that's the case and you want to bury your past in the waters of baptism, well, we'll be glad to baptize you, give you a newness of life, that walk of newness of life, put you on the right path. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've just never been the kind to share my faith. I've kind of been covert. I just don't like the controversy. I don't like, you know, the arguments and the debates. I don't either. But I want to be known as a Christian. And Acts tells me there are two ways. One is my closeness to God. The other is how I share my faith with others. How I preach the word. Preach the Lord. And I'm committed to do those things. How about you this morning? God, I pray you'll take this time that we have together to accomplish your will in our lives. In Jesus. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. But please, please, secure your faith this morning if you aren't sure. And make a decision right now that you're going to share that faith.
All right, glad you came this morning. That's where we're dismissed. Don't forget, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Any other announcements? Once again, happy birthday. All right. Let's go to the Lord for dismissal. I'm so excited. Aren't you excited for Sister Mary Lee? I just made my day. We love you and we welcome you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ronnie, would you dismiss us, please?